That story about Abraham interceding on behalf of the city of Sodom is a very telling story. First of all, we're impressed, almost frustrated, with Abraham's persistence. He keeps asking and keeps pushing the edge of the envelope. And he says, you know, I know that I am nothing but dust and ashes, but please don't get angry if I ask one more time. And God just seems to answer readily, yes, I will forgive. Yes, I will spare the city. Yes. Is Abraham convincing God to be merciful? Or is not rather God showing Abraham how merciful God is? Abraham's persistence has to do with his justification. He's a just person. But he isn't just because of his own efforts. He's just because God made him so. Another way of saying that is Abraham is drawn up into the court of God. He's drawn up into God's mind and heart, and he sees things as God sees them and loves things as God loves them. So Abraham is praying for a pagan Gentile city. There are no Jews living there. And that's very uncharacteristic in those days, because you prayed for your neighbor, you prayed for your fellow countrymen, you prayed for those in the same religion. You didn't pray for those outside. And yet Abraham is persistent and repeated in this petition for these pagan people. St. Paul, in that reading to Colossians, reminds us that we were baptized into Christ's priesthood. Abraham is acting as a priest. That's what priests do. They intercede for the rest. And his intercession is determined and persistent. And Jesus, in whose priesthood we have been baptized, tells us, I want you to have that same persistence. Just imagine if someone comes to a neighbor's house and begs for something, and the guy says, we're already in bed, go away. I tell you, he will get up and give him whatever he needs because of his persistence, even if he doesn't like you. Jesus wants us to have the courage of Abraham. He wants us to have the trust that Jesus had. And so he teaches us the Our Father. Now, Abba is a Hebrew word that doesn't really mean father in the sense that we have that formal word father. It means dad. It means papa. And when Jesus called God his Abba, his dad, that was so offensive that that's one of the things that got him killed. But Jesus is telling his disciples, I want you to use that same word. I want you to pray to God as if he were your beloved dad, and that you were his beloved children, and therefore you know that he's going to hear you. And then I want you to pray as I pray. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And that's a radical request, because most of the time this earth does not reflect God's kingdom. God's kingdom of justice doesn't exist in this world. God's kingdom of peace and absolute dying love doesn't exist in this world, or at least in very limited fashion. Give us today our daily bread. That's not a greedy prayer. It's only asking for what I need today. And like those who had the manna in the desert, they were not allowed to collect more than one day's worth of manna. We're not really praying that we become rich, that we have more than we need. We're only praying for what we need, and we're praying that the distribution of the world's goods would be equalized, and that everybody would have what they need for today. And we pray for forgiveness. In the same way that God shows Abraham his unconditional forgiveness, we pray that we would forgive one another as God has forgiven us. We are intercessors. That's one of the principal duties, responsibilities of Christians, is to be priestly, to intercede for the rest. And we have the power and authority to do that because we've been baptized into the high priest, Jesus Christ. And we know that he is at the altar in heaven, interceding for us and for the salvation of the world eternally. And so one of the things we do here every Sunday is we intercede. In a few minutes, we're going to have 6 or 7 petitions. We're going to be persistent, just like Abraham was. We're just going to keep asking and asking and asking, Lord, hear our prayer. And during the Eucharistic prayer, we're going to ask God to advance the peace and salvation of the whole world, because that's what we do as priests. We're intercessors. And this is also what the communion of saints is about. We say that Jesus, the risen Lord, is at the altar in heaven, eternally interceding, and that there's a great throng of angels and saints surrounding that altar. So our intercessory duty does not end with death. In fact, it gets even more powerful, because from then on we're at that altar in heaven, in which this altar is a mere representation. It's a participation in that, but in a limited form, in this limited lifetime. But the saints, they're eternal, like God. And they are close to Christ, and they are close to that altar. And so to ask them to intercede for us makes total sense. Their intercessory prayer is even more powerful than ours. But one of the ways that we participate in that is by being prayers ourselves. Praying the Our Father, opening our hearts and minds, allowing ourselves to be joined to Christ by the power of the Spirit. At the end of that gospel, Jesus says, "If you who are wicked know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit?" Notice Jesus doesn't say, "We'll give you things," but "We'll give you the Holy Spirit." And what is the Spirit's role in salvation? To join us to Christ. The Holy Spirit is the union between the Father and the Son. He is the union between heaven and earth, between God and humanity. And his role in salvation is joining us to the priesthood of Christ, becoming his body. And so, in a few minutes, we're going to pray that that Holy Spirit would come upon us to join us more powerfully to Christ, to make us more open and generous intercessors, to pray for the needs of the world, to pray not just for our friends and family, but even for our enemies, even for those who persecute us, even for those who seem to be on the other side of issues or power or authority. To have that open generosity that is divine, because that's our destiny. We're called to divinity. We're not called to just be nice human people. We're called to be Christ. We're called to have divine love, not just human love.